I don't know how familiar you are with mobile phones. I often have mine attached to my side permanently. But the other day, it was quite fitting actually to start the message this way, because the other day I had a message pop up on my iPhone saying, memory full. And it was funny because I thought to myself, I know the feeling. And it made me think about this, and it made me think, well, actually, my phone is running at maximum capacity, which isn't surprising because it's just as busy as I am. How many of you actually feel the same way? Maximum capacity. We're all working at maximum capacity in this day and age to keep up with things. We're keeping up with pressure of life. And I wonder if we thought back just on our week that has gone by, how many times have we said, or at least thought, I'm so busy, I haven't got time. Or perhaps we've even said, stop the world, I want to get off. That's why tonight I'd like to talk to you about priorities. Maybe not a very comfortable topic, but I believe this message will enable us to understand why it's important to change them. I believe I can offer you a way of how you can change it and them. And also what our lives can look like if and when we do. You see, I think we all really have good priorities, many of them really important. Family, work, church, eating. Drinking and even breathing is a good priority, isn't it? All very good priorities in day-to-day life. They have a purpose. They have a value to each of us. But the question I felt coming to the surface when I thought about this and our priorities is, where does Jesus fit in to it all? Because I think for many of us, without realizing it at times, we tend to fit Jesus into our priorities instead of him being the priority. I believe that whilst we're doing so much of what is right, are we doing really what is needed in our lives? And I believe Mary and Martha have much to teach about this. If you're not familiar with the story, Mary and Martha are two sisters living in a village that Jesus comes and visits. Martha is the one who opens her home. Clearly to me, I can see a gift of hospitality. It's a good priority to be hospitable. I've experienced that in the last 2 days. It's been incredible. And because of her gift of hospitality, she springs into action, starts doing all the preparations for Jesus' time with them. But eventually, she starts getting a little fed up when she sees Mary, her sister, just sitting at the feet of Jesus. To Martha, looking like she's doing nothing, but Mary is actually sitting there listening to what Jesus says. To say, as it says in verse 39. We could look at Mary and say, well, why hasn't she got the gift of hospitality? Why is she just sitting at Jesus' feet? Can that be right? If we really think about it, we can start to picture some of what church life looks like sometimes. And I think of this story, and I can always picture Martha flapping about, as so many of us do at home or at work. We're flapping, flapping all the time. And she's getting into a right grump. Her attitude is changing because she's stressed and she's fed up and she's overburdened. And she even says, don't you care, Jesus, that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. The thing that I realized about this piece of scripture, and I suppose in my time of being a minister so far, that unless you study a piece of scripture well, there are certain words and messages that we can miss. And there's one word that really struck me in this piece of scripture, and that is the word distraction. Martha was distracted by all the preparations, by everything that she was doing, that she missed the one important thing that was needed in her life. She missed the opportunity to sit with Jesus and listen and hear what he had to say. And because of that, it changed her attitude. She became overburdened. She became stressed, angry with her sister. When we think about our priorities, we often feel like Martha, I think. We find ourselves in the same situation as her. Why is nobody helping me? I'm exhausted. I'm stretched. I'm tired. Who hasn't said, "I'm tired this week"? If you do, you're lying. I just wondered to myself when I was writing this, I was thinking, which one of those sisters could I relate to right now in my life? And I'm going to ask of you the same question, not to shout out loud, but to think about it. Are you a Mary or a Martha in your life right now? But the next thing we have to look at is actually, we've seen what Mary is about. We've seen what Martha is about. What does Jesus have to say about this? Because that's the important thing, really, isn't it? What does Jesus say about this? He doesn't say a lot to Mary, but he answers Martha's outburst. And he says in verse 41 and 42, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And I thought to myself, even though it's not recorded in Scripture, I would have loved to have read what Martha's response would have been to what Jesus had said to her. Because I think it would have cut deep. And I believe it should cut us deep. Because I think often we make the choice to do so much of as right, what is right, but less of what is really needed, and that is Jesus. Mary chose Jesus first. Just wonder if you thought about it right now. Where does Jesus fit on your priority list? Is he even present, or is he tucked away in all the different things? The problem is when we get distracted like Martha, it leaves us open to temptation, to sin, to burnout. And we can see characteristics of this in Martha's behavior. And so the reality is what Jesus is saying is that we have a choice to make. Mary chose what is better. Jesus makes it very clear. We have a choice to make. Can we say right now that we're willing to make Jesus our priority above anything else? You may be thinking, I'm standing up here and I'm crazy for saying that we need to make Jesus our priority. How can you say that when family's important, work's important? I agree with you. I agree that it's very difficult. But I believe it's something that we need to think about as followers of Christ. I also believe and am coming to learn that it all starts with that foundation piece in our life. Jesus first isn't about doing nothing else but praying in a locked room and worshiping, and that's not what following Jesus or putting him as a priority first. Instead, it's about investing in the foundation. Because whatever you build on the foundation of your life, if you've invested in Jesus, in listening, in investing first in him, like Mary did, everything else can come afterwards. I thought to myself, what if both of them had just sat at his feet for an hour? Then they both could have gone and done all the preparation. How many of us just want to get everything done for Jesus? But we don't take enough time to listen, to invest. How many of our lives are lacking in prayer? How many of our lives are lacking in becoming ever closer to him? How can we expect that to happen when we're not investing, when we're putting the work into the foundation? Scripture says that Jesus is the cornerstone, which is really funny. You mentioned that earlier, Peter. But Jesus is the cornerstone. It means that he is the foundation. And without a foundation being stable and well built and prepared, the structure will collapse. Did anybody hear about that building in Australia, that new block of flats that had been up only about 6 weeks, and all of a sudden cracks just appeared in the whole building and they had to evacuate everybody? It's all about the foundation. Are we investing in the foundation? What does your foundation in Christ look like right now? Is it full of rocks and stones and stuff like that? Because there's stuff that needs to be cleared out of our lives in order for them to be firm. And we can only do that when we invest in Jesus first. And I believe at times, it doesn't have to be every day, every week, but I think we need to set time aside to revisit what our priorities in our life actually are. And I believe we need to do this because it helps us to identify what has become important in our lives and maybe what should be or shouldn't be. Because I think we can become blinded by what we do in our lives. We need fresh eyes. We need the eyes of Christ. These are the things I believe of why we need to change and relook at our priorities regularly. The second one, I think, of the why is because it determines how we live. Our priorities determine how we live in our workplaces, in our families, in our communities. Because if our foundation isn't firm, it doesn't just affect our lives. It affects the life of others too. This is when we start to see temptation come in. We see breakdowns of families, relationships, marriages. Because what are these things built on? What are they built on? So the question is, how? How can we change things? You may be sitting here right now thinking, how? How do I look at my priorities and change them? I believe so often that we offer our members a message, but we never give them a how. How do I go home and change this in my life? Well, I've got a few options for you that maybe you would consider one to look at in the weeks ahead. Maybe all of them if you are really inspired. But I've got five for you. And I believe this has been recorded, so you can always listen back if you want to catch up on the five. The first one is, you need to figure out what's really important to you. And I don't believe that can happen unless we ask the hard questions of ourselves. Maybe we need to ask and say, well, actually, where does Jesus actually fit in to my life? Where? Because I believe unless we know the answer to that question, we will never know whether he's a priority in our lives or not. The second one is, think about what you are doing. Because I think half the time, we're doing stuff on a daily or weekly basis that we've been doing it for so long, sometimes we just do it in neutral that we don't even know why we're doing it anymore because it's just part of what we do. So we just do it. Maybe we need to start asking questions like, is it actually working anymore? Is this even really what God wants? Number three is to have a good declutter. It's like a spring clean, isn't it? A good declutter. Look at your priority lists, write them down and say, right, what can I let go of? Now, this doesn't mean you all have to say to Peter, I'm not doing anything ever again in church, because Kelly has said, I don't have to do anything anymore. That is not what we're saying here. We're saying, where is God in what you are doing? The fourth one is, take it for a test drive. My uncle will know a lot about taking cars for a test drive. He worked for the AA for 32 years. But taking it for a test drive is, try something out. Let go of something on your priority list. Let go of it for a week. See if you really need it. If you miss it that much, put it back on your priority list. If you don't need it, you might realize you didn't even miss it for that week. Try it out. Try it out. You might even think, why didn't I do this years ago? The fifth one is the most important one. Add the stuff that is more needed in our lives. The problem is, it takes practice. It's not going to happen overnight. What have you done in your life that you've practiced hard to be good at it? Sport, musical instruments, maybe your job, studied for it. It all took practice. I didn't get my degree in a night. I got it in 3 years. But it's something that you work towards. So we need to stay focused on why we're doing it and who we're doing it for. It's about pursuing, isn't it? Those of you who are married or in relationships, you pursued the one that you were interested in. And eventually you caught them and you married them. God wants the same from us. He wants us to pursue him. Somebody who did that was David. So much so that to God he was known as a man after God's own heart. And I believe Psalm 63 gives us a picture of what life can look like when God does become our priority. Now for David, we know he didn't live a perfect life. It took practice. It took a lot of mistakes to the point of where God did become his priority. What we learn about David is that when God becomes our priority, our inward life becomes more important than our outward activity. Because that's what God's interested in, our inward life. And the reason why he's interested in it is because everything that we do flows from that. And if it's not flowing from a firm foundation in him, it's like we're just laboring in vain. reason why it's good to practice, to work hard at God becoming our priority, is because it teaches us to live better, to work more effectively, and to serve well. God's not there to burden us. The Bible's not there to tell us what to do and how to do it, but instead it's there to teach us how to live well, to serve well, to learn from the mistakes from those who have gone before us. That's what I believe Scripture's about. And this is where David is at in Psalm 63. He's not having the greatest time. He has been chased out of Jerusalem, like I said, by his son Absalom. He ends up in the Judean desert. It's really inhospitable. There's not a lot of anything. He even says that there's no water, which there wouldn't be in the desert. But yet we see his life hanging in the balance, and all he is doing is seeking and longing for God above everything. We're just going to reflect on 3 points from this. Because this bit is what our life can look like when Jesus becomes our priority. The first one we're going to look at is verse 3, where it says, "Your love is better than life. My lips will glorify." David's whole life had changed. His attitude to life, to God, was completely different to what it was with all the things he had got involved in, the temptation, the sin. I believe, like David, when God becomes our priority, it changes our attitude. If we look at Martha, because that's the first thing I looked at, and I thought, what was Martha's attitude like? Stressed, overburdened, angry, and fed up with her sister. How many times are we stressed and overburdened and we get angry? And we get involved in all sorts of stuff. When God becomes our priority, when our inward life becomes more important than our outward activity, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do anything, but it should be our inward life that comes first in Christ. And it changes our attitude. Verse 6, he says this, "On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of night." Which means that I believe that it sharpens our focus, like it did with David. He was probably lying in the middle of the desert under the stars, because that's all he had. He was lying there probably trying to make sense of everything that was happening, sorting out his head. This is one thing I don't believe we give ourselves enough time for. We jump from one thing to the next without allowing enough time to process, for God to speak into these things. Isn't that what resting in God is about? This is what David was doing. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's an invitation. God is saying, come, I want to give you rest. But yet, your priorities and your schedules and your diaries are so full that where is the time for you to process stuff? For me to speak into your circumstances and your life? How can our focus be sharp when our heads and our hearts are pulled in so many different places? The third one to finish is, it builds our confidence. When God becomes our priority, it builds our confidence. Verse 11 says, but the king will rejoice in God. David, despite the fact that he knew that his son was going to lose this battle and lose his life, which would have been difficult for David. It was his son after all. But still, David remained confident of the victory. He remained confident in the faithfulness and protection of God. And I think sometimes we can't see that because we're distracted. So Jesus asks us to make a choice, to do what is right, which Martha was doing, or to do what is better for the inward to come first before the outward. It's almost like Brexit, isn't it? Will it be Mary or Martha? You decide. What I like to do in my church is to give a bit of response time. Just you and God. To listen to Him. To speak to Him now, just for a few minutes. Whatever has struck you in this message, speak to Him about how He has spoken to you now, and then I will close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are God. And that, Lord, you only had one thing on your mind. Lord, when you were hanging on that cross. And that was us. Lord, we were your priority. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we're so sorry for the times that we don't put you first. We're sorry for the times that you get lost in all the craziness of our lives. We thank you for your grace, Lord, that fills us. But we pray, Lord, as we leave here tonight, that you would encourage us, Lord, to practice more of what is needed in our lives. Lord, where our inward becomes more important than our outward. So, Lord, the foundation that you build in our hearts will be what you build on in our outward activity. Lord, change our attitudes. Sharpen our focus. Lord, be our light. Build our confidence. Be our hope. Lord, so like David, no matter what comes, we can stand strong and firm in you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would lead the way as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.